Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Pastor Matt Wolfington.
Amen. You may be seated. So glad that you're here. Welcome to the Southwest and just a day that's going to be filled with joy, but also a great day to see what Jesus is going to do in your life and in my life and going forward. If you're a guest with us today, your first time, or maybe just maybe second or third time, glad that you're here. Just make yourself at home. And just if you're joining us online, thanks for taking time to do that as well. Lord God, this is Christian ministry. This is what you call us to. Father, that we would show your love, not just to each other here, but to total strangers that we will never even meet. Lord, I pray today that as your Holy Spirit moves through us, that there would be a great movement of your Holy Spirit around the world in the days and weeks and months to come. Lord, as a child gets a gift, Lord, that it would be distributed to them with the love of Christ, that they would know somehow who you are because of what we have done here today. Lord, these little red and green boxes, Lord, that they would represent the kingdom. I don't know how that's going to happen. I can't even imagine. But Lord, I pray that in the thousands, if not millions of boxes that are distributed around the world, Lord, that one child, one parent, one volunteer even would come to you in a saving relationship or return to you in a saving relationship. That's not just my prayer for them. It's our prayer for us in this very place today. In Jesus' holy and precious name we pray. Boy, that's my prayer, Lord. I want more. Lord, I ask that you would just give us more. Lord, that you would just reveal yourself more and more to us. Lord, I know that we have the fullness of all of who you are inside of us. Lord, I know it's true for me, but Lord, I want more of it to come forth. Lord, I want you to reveal more of yourself to me. Lord, in your word, in our prayers, Lord, in our conversations, Lord, in the world, Father, in the lives that touch me and the lives that I touch. Lord, that's my prayer. That's how the kingdom of God is going to grow, not by programs, and Lord, and not by just our thoughts, but Lord, by truly the infiltration of your Holy Spirit, Lord, by the deeds that we work out in the world, Lord, how people see us living our lives, Lord, and so we need more of you. Father, we need to include you more in all the areas of our lives. Lord, right now, as we just gather together in your holy name, Lord, we're going to talk about the pieces of our lives. And Lord, you know them. You're intimately aware of them. Lord, I pray that you would show us, Lord, show us how those pieces matter. Lord, how to use those pieces in our lives. Lord, when they look like a shambles, Father, how to either let them be or how to use them. Lord, we need you. We desperately need you. Lord, healing needs to take place in this room. And so, Father, I know there's illness today. I've already heard it. Lord, I pray that you are Jehovah Rapha. You are the ultimate healer. I pray right now for those that are sick, Father, in this room and elsewhere. Lord, in the hospitals. Father, at home. Lord, that you are Jehovah Rapha, the ultimate healer. Lord, by the power of the blood of Jesus, Lord, bring healing into their lives. Father, in that same healing power into relationships. Father, there are broken hearts this morning. Lord, they just desperately need you, Father, to mend us, put us together. Lord, restore us. Lord, just I heard of mental illness this morning in a 10-year-old child. Lord, we are broken. Lord, and that child did not sign up for that. Lord, I pray your healing power into his life right now, into the life of his family. Lord, you in a miraculous way bring order to that chaos. That's what we're asking for. So, Lord, we're going to count on you, and we're going to look to you in the holy and the precious and the powerful name of Jesus. All the people said, amen. You may be seated. Glad that you were so enthusiastic in worship this morning. Going to pray for our finances, your money. It's important to God. As we give, I've been my new thing for 2024 is to tell you this, that as we work on our budgets, here's all it's going to take. Okay, if you have never given, and if you want to start giving, sometimes we think it's too overwhelming, it's insurmountable. We think about tithing and we think of thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. And if we've never given, then we feel guilty and we think, oh my gosh, how do I make up for that? I'm not asking you to do any of that. I ran the numbers and it really is this simple. And I'm going to say it for many months. If you've never given, just think about you going out to eat today. Think about what you did. How many of y'all went to the football game this weekend, right? Just whatever it might be, okay? If you gave $37 a week, if you've never given before, that makes up, with the people that we already have, it makes up about $280,000 a year. It's pretty impressive, isn't it? Certainly is to me, because boy, $37 is kind of what we spent on dinner yesterday, right? That's all it takes. It really is simple. It's a hard concept to grasp, and that's also the way our Christian life is. We think we have to do all of these things to follow Jesus, but it really is simple. It's just about doing it. Father God, as we gather in your holy name, Lord, I pray that we would be that we would be followers of Jesus in every area of our life. And Lord, and we don't like to talk about our money, but Lord, you did, and so I do. Father, we talk about relationships, we want to be followers. We talk about parenting, we want to be followers. We talk about being neighbors and bosses and employees. Father, we talk about being children and aunts and uncles and grandparents. Lord, we want to be followers of you, but I want it to be in every area of my life. So, Lord, as we give today, Lord, as we ask you to show us how to give today, Lord, let us be followers, because you will, as we're going to hear today in a different way, Lord, when you promise that you'll take care of us, you do. So, Lord, let it be so. In the name of Jesus Christ, all the people said, amen.
To follow up with what Matt was saying about giving, we are going to head to children's worship every week this month. We are, as the kids are working on a little project to give back to others in our community, and that money has come from the money that they pick up every week. And so this week, guys, we're going to go make some bags, some gift bags to give to some teachers at an elementary school that we partner with. So if y'all want to head out that door to Grace Kids, and as I always say, if there's any bigger kids that want to come help, of any age, we've got 130 bags to pack today, so we will take any hands on deck.
So we're going to continue with this theme of Paul being on the ship as he's making a journey. And we're going to make sense of it today and how we use that to make sense in our own lives. If you want the notes today, there's how you can get those. If I do say so myself, there are fantastic notes today that you can get online, that you can carry with you throughout the week. Think through those and pray through those. But we heard that Paul was on a ship last week, and he was a prisoner. And as they were getting ready to set sail and they were discussing everything, Paul said it's not a good idea because lots of bad things are going to happen, basically. The ship and the cargo, there's going to be great damage and loss and all those things. And he said, let's don't do that. But the people on the ship, the captain, the navigator, the centurion, nobody listened to him. Why? Because Paul didn't have any influence. He was a prisoner. And you don't listen to prisoners talk about sailing when you're a sailor. So he didn't have that influence, so they went ahead and did it anyway. That didn't turn out so well. They found themselves in the middle of a storm in the Mediterranean and with hurricane force winds. And it ended up that they did. What happened was they were beaten, that they were throwing cargo overboard to try to save the ship because more and more water was coming in. They were sinking. You know, they didn't have electronic gas-powered or anything, bilge pumps, right, to keep the water out of there. And so they couldn't bucket it out fast enough, and so they started throwing stuff overboard. And then they decided they'd start killing and throwing the prisoners overboard, and Paul talked them out of that, and he talked about this angel of the Lord that came to him and said, listen, not everything is going to be bad, okay? Now, we may, here's what it says in Acts 27, it says, when many had lost their appetites. Anybody been on a rocky boat? Anybody been on a, yeah, exactly. Anybody get seasick just riding in the car? Yeah, this was way worse, right? I mean, they're in a storm. They're in a ship that's wooden. It's up and down with the waves. After they'd gone a long time without food, but it also says they lost their appetites, Paul stood before them and he said, men, you should have followed my advice. This is where we titled it last week, Nana Nana Boo Boo, I Told You So. This is where you should have followed my advice and not set sail from Crete and thereby spared yourself the damage and loss. I mean, it's kind of like, I hate to tell you, but I told you so. And yet, I now urge you to keep up your courage. Keep down your food, keep up your courage, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For this very night, an angel of God, to whom I belong, whom I also serve, came to me saying, do not be afraid. Paul, you must stand before Caesar, and behold, God has graciously granted you all those who are sailing with you. Therefore, keep up your courage, men, for I believe that God will turn out exactly as I have been told, but we must run aground on a certain island. So here's what I want to ask you today. When life is hard and when you have either made decisions that are not good or other decisions have been made that you are part of the circumstance of those decisions and your life is run aground and wrecked, right? What does that look like to you? How do you navigate that? How do you deal with that? What happens when you look around the storm of life and you hear God say, you're going to make it, but it's not going to be fun. You're going to make it, but it's going to be hard. You're going to make it, but there's going to be a wreck. You're going to make it, and there's going to be pieces laying around. How do you deal with that? What happens when you look at the pieces? You see all this junk scattered around here today. When you look at the pieces, how do you make sense of it all? How do you decide how to move forward? How do you decide how life is going to make? Because here's what I know, and here's what Scripture has just told us, that God said, you're going to make it. You are going to live through this life. You are going to live through your circumstances, but there's going to be some hard times. There's going to be some pieces that you're going to have to pick up. And here's the deal, though. That's not how we pray. We don't pray, oh, thank you, Lord, that I'm going to live and I can't wait for this ship to run aground. We can't wait for there to be a catastrophe, right? None of us would have gotten on that boat none of you would go on a cruise, and as you're getting on, you know, they hand you your little umbrella drink, and they tell you where your room is, and we've got your luggage, and you know, and all the things, and they said, oh, by the way, about 3 days in, there's going to be hell to pay, right? None of y'all would sign up for that. None of y'all would get on a boat that you know is going to crash. None of you are going to get on a boat that you know is going to sink. But yet, that's kind of the way life happens, because storms just happen, don't they? We don't plan on them. We don't see them on the horizon. Most of us don't see them on the horizon and go, oh, that'll be fine. We'll get through that. You don't start a business and go, oh, this is going to be great. I can't wait to be bankrupt in 2 years. Right? None of you enter into a marriage and go, in year 11, we're going to be in crisis counseling because of all these things, and it's just not going to end well. Right? We are going to have children, and they are going to make our lives miserable. Some of you have children because you're laughing. Right? I mean, we don't sign up for that. Storms just happen. Life just happens. But God says, you're going to make it through it. You're going to make it through it. And you know why this teaching is so important, why this teaching is so critical? Because it is important to remember that when God promises anything, it's going to happen. When God makes a promise to us, he's going to make sure it comes true. When God says you're going to make it, you can count on you're going to make it. But it's how we navigate the storms. It's how we deal with the wreckage. It's how we deal with the pieces. It's how we make sense of it all. And I'm excited about what this is going to do, I hope, in your life because it really speaks to my life. It not just for today, but all of my life, all the different things and how I've come through so many different circumstances and different things with family, with parents, with siblings, right? In marriage, in parenting, in jobs, in careers, in money, in life, all those things, because it does happen. I said it this morning in prayer that none of y'all really need to hear this, because I know that all of y'all look so good this morning and all of your lives are put together just like you and your clothes and your makeup. No, that's not what I said. Y'all look really good, but I know you need this because you have some pieces in your life. You have some brokenness. You have run aground somewhere, sometime, and you might not feel like God is there, but He is. There He is all the time. But let me tell you, when we're traveling with the Lord, what did Paul say? He said, hey, it's going to be okay. I heard an angel of the Lord whom I serve. Not the angel, but the Lord. What happens when you hear from Him, but your life is still a wreck? What happens when you hear from God and it's time to run aground? Acts 27, 39 through 44 tell us this. It says, now when daylight came, they could not recognize the land, but they did notice a bay with a beach, and they resolved to run the ship into it if they could. And casting off the anchors, they let them off into the sea, while at the same time they were loosening the ropes from the rudders, and they hoisted the foresail into the wind, and they were headed for the beach. But they struck a reef, and they struck a reef where two seas met and ran the ship aground right there. They didn't make it to the beach. And the prow struck firmly, and it was immovable. And when the stern started to break up due to the force of the waves, the soldiers planned to kill the prisoners so that none of them would swim away and escape. But the centurion wanted to bring Paul safely through, kept them from accomplishing their intention, and commanded that those who could swim were to jump overboard first and get to land, and the rest were to follow, some on planks and others on various things from the ship. And so it happened that they were all brought safely to land. Now, that doesn't sound like a really, that's not like a fairy tale ending and they all lived happily ever after, does it? It says that they thought they could make it to shore. And then as they were on their way to their destination, something else happened. Anybody been in that life scenario? Yeah, and they thought, well, we're stuck. And then this is not going to be too bad, but then the ship starts breaking apart because the waves are still beating them. Here's our plan. Here's what God told us to do, but the waves are still there. Here's what I say about life all the time. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean it's all going to go according to your plan. Just because, that's why we have that baptism out there. Just because you're getting baptized and you're committing your life to Christ in a new way, the world still goes on around you. See, they're talking about, how do we do this? Look at this wreckage. I mean, it's a mess up here, right? I mean, we've got all sorts of stuff. We got pieces of wood, and we got luggage, and we got all this. And so how do we make sense of it? And let's be honest with each other. Be honest with yourself. We argue with God over this all the time. We pray that we make it through, but I want to make it through on my terms. Amen? Yeah. Oh, come on. You do. Lord, I know you're going to save me, but would you be sure and save this? Would you be sure and save this? See, we don't always worry about our lives. We worry about the vessel that we're on. We don't want the vessel to crash. We don't want there to be a disaster on the things that we're traveling on. We don't want there to be all the things go wrong in our families. We don't want there to be all the things to go wrong in our relationships or in our jobs or whatever. We want everything to stay the same, right? How many of you have prayed this prayer about a job that you thought you should quit because you and your boss didn't get along? Lord, I know I need a new job, and Lord, I know I need to be in a new place because this place, frankly, is horrible, and my boss is terrible, and the people I work with are jerks. Lord, would you please let them all get hit by a bus so everything will be better for me tomorrow? Right? Would you please let them all get new jobs? Would you please let them all get transferred? Right? I know that my marriage is not great. Would you please change them? Yeah, see, that's what we do. Instead of saying, Lord, show me. I wonder why, if we believe God's going to make us through on the ship, if we believe that God's going to allow us to be saved, why do we argue with him about the way he saves us? Now, right now in my head, I don't know about you, but here's the things I think of. All of a sudden, I went to the movie A Few Good Men, right? Jack Nicholson's on the stand. What does he say? He goes, you're so thankful the way I protect you, but don't question the way I protect it, right? You want me to protect you, don't question the way I protect you. But that's what we do with God, right? God says, I'm going to take care of you, but you go, hey, can we negotiate how you're going to do that? Can we talk about that? See, I don't question God's power. I don't question God's authority. I know that he's the same God, that he has the power to split the seas, that he can save me. I know that he's the same God that has the power to heal the sick. He can save me from whatever's going on, right? I just want to negotiate how he's going to do it. And God says, no, you can't do that. He goes, you can't have it both ways. You either follow me and you follow me or you don't. So I know if he has the power to calm the storms, why do I question how he's going to get me through the storms? We shouldn't, but we do. And when we look at this, and we look at all this stuff, there are the broken pieces, right? And these broken pieces can serve a purpose. When your life is wrecked and you look around, the broken pieces can serve a purpose, but you've got to kind of sift through them. And sometimes you don't have a lot of time. Here's the problem is, though, we like to take a lot of time to sift through the pieces. We want to take time not just to make a decision and move on, right? We want to hold on, and we want to sift through everything. When we see the wreckage of our life, we want to hold on. I mean, we've got our baggage, right? We've got our baggage, and we want to hold on to all the things that we've been carrying with us in life, even though it's not necessarily good, right? How many of y'all are holding on to stuff you really need to let go of? And then we've got some of this wreckage, and it's gross, and it's got stuff on it, and we like, I mean, this might represent some of the time in your life that wasn't great, but oh man, it was fun while it lasted, amen? And you want to hold on to that, and then you got something else, and you want to try to hold on to that too. And as you do, I mean, when this happens, I mean, then you get overwhelmed, and then you start sinking again. And really, all he's saying is grab a hold of something that's going to help you. Grab a hold of something that's going to keep you afloat. Stop holding on to all the other stuff, right? Get rid of some excess, right? Get rid of some of that stuff you don't need. Get rid of some of that stuff that's maybe even inside your suitcase, right? I mean, even some of that stuff. Wilson! Yeah, I mean, you know. Oh, that's funny. Come on, y'all. I mean, and some of you are going, what? Yeah, you're not old enough. I mean, find something that's going to keep you afloat. And as you do, just hold on to that. And sometimes it really is just Jesus by himself. He is the only one. You got lots of stuff around you, lots of good memories, but you need to let him go so you can get to the shore, so you can get to that one place. Because it really might have been a wrong decision. It might have been a wrong season. Remember, don't set sail in winter. Don't set sail when people give you advice not to. Maybe the storm was over, but you just got to ride it out while you're holding on to something, but the waves are still there a little bit. The clouds are still there. I don't know. Maybe the pieces really are. You know what's so great about pieces? Part of the pieces is the fact that you might have some of this stuff. I mean, forget a suitcase. Let's just pretend like this was the steering wheel of the ship, right? I mean, maybe you have this and you're holding on to it and it's getting you to shore, and somebody goes, why do you have a steering wheel to a ship? Well, let me tell you what happened in my life, right? May mean nothing to you, but it might mean everything to somebody else. You really might, the pieces may not really matter to you. You're going to live through it, and you're going to get to shore, and you're okay leaving everything else behind. But when somebody hears about your experience, why you have a steering wheel to a ship, why you have a bag, why you're holding on to a plank, while you have the remnants of whatever it is, maybe it's going to help them. I'll tell you, I mean, all of us have these stories. Broken pieces have taught me how to pray. Broken pieces have taught me how to keep perspective. Broken pieces got me from Lubbock and back to Lubbock. Broken pieces got me into a marriage. Broken pieces got us into parenting. Broken pieces got us into the church. Broken pieces got a church built. Broken pieces have shown us about how to follow God, right? Brokenness. Broken pieces taught me how not to parent if it didn't teach me how to parent. Broken pieces didn't teach me how to be a husband, but it certainly showed me how not to be a husband. See, broken pieces matter. And you've got to sift through them. Because some things may drag you down, right? Some things may hold you back. But listen to what happened. In Acts 28, 1-2, it says, when they had been brought safely through, when they found out that the island was called Malta, that the natives showed us extraordinary kindness, for they kindled a fire and took us all in. And because that the rain that had started and because of the cold. See, they were brought to safety, but they needed some help. Instead of all the independentness of our lives, we need to allow other people to help us. We need to tell our story so other people can help us through that story. We need to tell our story so we can help other people through the story. Making sense of the broken pieces includes learning from others. It includes learning from some of this. I'm not encouraging you to carry with you all the broken pieces of your life, but how many of you have broken pieces that caused a few scars? Yeah, I've got some. Those scars are great reminders. Those scars can help you and others. Those scars are what God builds our life upon. It's what He built His life upon. And you know what Malta represents to me, by the way? This is just a side note. They were on their way to Rome, right? Malta represents the places I never intended to be. Amen? I never intended to go there. Never intended for that to happen. I had the best intentions or I had the worst intentions. But yet that's not where I intended to go. Malta really represents these waypoints in our life. These spots where we have to take stock of ourselves and take notice where we have to do this. And what happened is, though, those islanders, I mean, that's crazy for me to hear that these islanders that didn't even know them, right? I mean, all of a sudden, I don't know how they knew they were prisoners, other than the fact maybe they were marked. Maybe they had a part of a shackle still on them. Maybe they had part of a chain. Maybe they had a cuff on their leg or their arm. I don't know. But they knew. They knew who the sailors were. They knew who the prisoners were. They knew. They recognized. But yet they showed them unusual kindness, and they learned from it. The people on the ship learned from it. This is what we have to do with the pieces, is learn from them. Right? Here's what I want you to hear. The pieces aren't there. Your baggage is not there to cause you shame. Okay? Your baggage is there for you to learn how not to do it again, or how to do it better, or how to do it differently, or how to teach somebody else. I know a lot of us, we change the baggage, whatever comes out, we exchange that for guilt and shame. We change that for condemnation. We exchange that for hurt and heartache. And we take that, and boy, and we zip that dude up. And man, we carry that with us wherever we go. Right? We do. I do. We carry it with us. And some of us like it. Man, we like these things that we went through. We like to be able to talk about them. We like to be able to hold on to them. Because here's also why I think we hang on to them. We liked them so much for some sick reason that when we get in the spot again and it starts looking familiar, we know what we can go back to. And we just do it again and again and again. Thank you, Lord. That was not part of the sermon. That's the Holy Spirit. That's what we do. And Christ says, don't. Let go of it. Let go of that wreckage. Let go of that baggage. Get to shore. And when they got to Malta, when they got safe, what did it say? It was still cold and it was still rainy. It still wasn't perfect, but there was a place for them to take refuge. They took refuge in what God had placed before them. It was, you know what that two-week storm also represents? You know what that shipwreck represents? You know what that floating or swimming in the ocean represents to me? I don't know if it is going to be for you, but what it represents to me is really, I'm just going to confess, there are very few circumstances I've been in life that are your fault. They're all my fault. I can just go back and I can tell you time and time again. I didn't make up the saying, but somebody was watching me when they made up the saying, right? How many of y'all know the saying, hold my beer and watch this? Yeah, somebody was watching me and said, oh, this is going to be good. Because he's stupid. He's ignorant. He thinks he knows, but he doesn't know. Watch this. See, all of that represents to me a big old piece of humble pie that I've got to eat. Floating in the ocean, swimming in the ocean, the shipwreck, the storm, it's trying to teach me. It's trying to teach me over and over and over again. Anybody gotten sick eating humble pie besides me? Yeah, I mean, it's just part of it. But what do we learn from it? How do we get past it? How do we continue to move forward? You see, that's what we need to ask the Lord. When they got on the shore, God said, go there. God provided them a way, and they got on shore, and they really much, they were bewildered, they were tired, they were wet, they were cold, they were torn, they were tattered, they were beat up, they were scared to death. They just got out with their life, and they had to say, where am I? You need to take stock with the Lord and say, Lord, where are we? Where am I in this relationship with you? How can I move forward? Show me direction, because I don't know where I'm at right now. See, that's the last thing when we think about that extraordinary kindness that the people on the island showed them, that's what Jesus wants to show us. But instead, we beat ourselves up. We see all these pieces, and we use all that guilt and shame and all that stuff, and we say, no, I don't deserve to be able to move forward. Or, what you're going to find out, if we read on, I don't think I put it in there, but when we read on, oh yeah, I did. Well, sometimes we don't beat ourselves up. We let other people remind us. We let other people remind us of our past. Because when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, Paul's trying to help. He's trying to be a good Christian. He's trying to be a good witness. He needs the help, but he's trying to help. He said he laid them on the fire. A viper came out, a snake came out because of the heat and fastened itself to his hand. And when the natives saw the creature hanging from his hand, they began saying to one another, undoubtedly this man is a murderer, and though he has been saved from the sea, justice has not allowed him to live. However, Paul shook off the creature and off into the fire and suffered no harm. See, they looked at Paul and said, you must be a really bad dude because you got through that storm and God saved you, but apparently you're still bad enough that God's still trying to kill you. That maybe the consequences of your life. And guess what? Paul was a murderer. Remember? He was a terrorist that we would call him today. He was seeking out people that were what he called people of the way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. They believed in Jesus. He said, these people of the way, we need to kill them. We need to kill these new Christians. And he did. And yet, he was transformed in Christ. And yet, they were still trying to remind him of who he was. See, we need to stop letting people remind us of our past. We need to allow ourselves to remind others of who we are now and going forward and tell our stories, but still to keep moving. And that's what I think is wrong with the church, by the way. I know none of us would do this. When people can't walk through the doors of the church without being judged based on their life, see, that's a problem. That's a viper hanging from their arm, and we're judging them. When Chick-fil-A is nicer to people than the church is, that's a problem. Amen? Yeah, I mean, that's a problem. When HEB has better customer service than the church, that's a problem. When United treats people better than we treat people at the church, that's a problem. Because we need to stop seeing the vipers, because those vipers can be shaken off. Those vipers can be let go. Those vipers can be left behind. They made it through the storm. They made it through the shipwreck. And all we want to do is remind them that they are still picking up the pieces. Let's don't do that. God is not doing that. He doesn't want to do that. And it was remarkable how quick the islanders shifted in their opinion of Paul when they saw the transformation in Christ, when they realized that he was able to shake off the viper, when he was able to shake off his past and be somebody new. That's what we need to do, because Paul was spirit-filled. He was ready for the battle. He was ready for the questions. Are you? That's where I want to end today, is are you ready to get out of the shipwreck and tell people your story? When people want to judge you and say that you're a murderer, when people want to say that you've had a hard time in life, when people say that you've made bad decisions, all you have to do is say, yeah, I have. I've got the pieces. I know I did. But guess what? In Christ, I'm good. I'm new. I'm different. I'm transformed. And let me explain to you how and why. Because you can be too. And that's that conversation around the fire. That's that conversation in the cold and the wind and the wet with people. And the islanders went out into that and sat with them. They didn't say, you need to get your life right when you get cleaned up, when you get dry, when this storm is over, when the wind stops blowing and when the rain stops falling, then we'll come. Because remember, last week, I said the rains came and the wind blew, and Paul said, I'm going to tell you, we're going to die. Now Paul's saying the rains came and the wind blew, and I built my foundation on who? See, he had a great witness. He had a great story. On your journey, I know this is not the commercial that you want for Christianity, but hey, come join the church. Your life is going to be not good. Come join the church. Come follow Jesus, because you're going to experience lots of storms. Oh, wait, Jesus said that himself, by the way. He goes, take heart. You're going to have trouble in life. You're going to have trouble in the world, but guess what? I want to help you make sense of it, because I've overcome the world. Just hang on to me. Hang on to me and follow me. Jesus never reminds us of who we were, ever. He reminds us of who we are, and he reminds us of who he's called us to be. Just remember that. I know there are storms, and I know there are terrible things. I don't make light of any of that at all. I know there are. Talked to someone this week just about all the hurts in their life. Talked to someone who can't seem to get away from it, who keeps going back to it. Some of you are in the middle of a storm right now. I know you, and I know your story. Some of you, I don't have a clue who you are, but yet I know there have been storms or there are storms. And yet, we keep sailing. I encourage you, gosh, if you know how to swim, jump. If you don't know how to swim, just jump and grab a piece of your life that you can hold on to, that's going to keep you afloat, that's going to get you to where God's called you to be. We all have them. Here's what I really am going to ask you to do today. Man, you need the Lord. I need the Lord. I know I do. And every time that I think I can do it by myself, it just gets worse. It just gets worse, or it just continues on. I can't get off the ship, and yet it just keeps falling apart, and I'm still holding on to... How many of y'all have held on to that steering wheel, held on to that rudder, because you're in charge, and yet you look around, and there's nothing left except the steering wheel you're holding on. And you're like, I can do this. You can. Not pastoral guilt, but boy, you need, if you're in that storm, you need the Lord. I just really want you to either come forward and pray. There's no condemnation. Come forward and pray for somebody else. come forward and give thanks for what God has done for you, through the storms, whether you're on the shore or whether you're in the water or whether you're sailing back out of the harbor because everything's great. I mean, we need to show the Lord that we trust Him. We need to make an expression of faith to Him. I know it, because when we do, remember Jesus said, "Peace, be still." And that was it. That's what He wants to say in your life today. Lord, for me, Lord, I can just envision you in the boat right now. Lord, I can envision you out on the water. I'm hanging on. I'm scared. Don't know how this is going to end. I don't know how it's going to go. I don't know how we're going to navigate through it. And yet I see you raising your hand in my way of thinking. And you call out to the storms of my own life and you just say, "Peace, be still." I want it for all of us. We want it for our marriages. We want it for the condemnation that we have placed in our own lives or that other people have placed there. We want it for the healing of illness and sickness and diagnosis in our lives. Father, we want it for our children, our jobs, financial storms. We want it for our loneliness. We want it for the wrong decisions that we've made, and Father, we want it for the right decisions that we've made. Lord, minister to us in the name of Christ. Amen. Lord Jesus, as we swim, as we float, Lord, I pray that we would see you walking out on the water towards us, giving us direction, extending your hand, Lord, whatever it might be to save us. Lord, and that we will know that you will never fail us. Might be rough, but we're going to make it. And as we do, we give you glory, we give you honor, we give praise, and we proclaim your name to all the people around us. Lord, let it be so. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and all the people said, Amen.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.